You missed it live. Catch the podcast on kaya959.co.za.
On to the politics of the day. It's 2 minutes after 8 o'clock. As you know, everybody's having a conversation about what formations. In fact, what I would love to hear from you, 086-000-0959. For those of you who did vote, that's not to leave out those who didn't vote, because all of this affects all of us, right? So for those of you who, especially who did vote, what kind of formations would you like to see? So you gave your vote to party X, right? And nobody got an outright majority, so they have to talk. Let me hear from you. Who would you like your party to speak to? Love to hear from you. 086-000-0959. Soli Malatsi is a DA spokesperson. We spoke to Soli when we were at the results center not so long ago. He's on the line with us. Thank you so much for making time for us. Good evening and welcome.
Good evening, Kamada, and greetings to your Kaya listeners.
So we've obviously been hearing a lot from your leadership. We've been hearing from other political parties. John Steenhuisen, leader of the DA, recently said, look, you know, the conversations that business is having and the enthusiasm, and when you look at the markets as well, when they speak about a relationship between the ANC and the DA, is something that he thinks would be doable. In fact, I wondered whether, is that where you are leaning as the DA? How close are you to sealing that deal?
Well, I think before we even get to how close we are to sealing any potential deal is to recognize that there are two major developments that have taken place from the DA side.
Yes.
One, which is the appointment of a negotiations team.
Mm-hmm.
Secondly, that team has been, you know, provided a mandate by our federal executive to go out on an initiative to explore talks with, amongst others, the ANC.
Mm.
And we met with the IFP, for instance,
mm-hmm.
as a party that was also part of the multi-party charter.
Mm-hmm.
And that gathering was also to establish, you know, where we stand on different matters, and also in terms of the approach regarding this. The conversation with the ANC was very, very elementary, which was to establish whether there is appetite to talk to each other, because at the time they, as you would acknowledge, have not had a clear mandate from their broader party structures in terms of what they can put on the table.
Mm.
So at this stage, what has happened is basically an expression of interest to talk to each other.
Mm-hmm.
On our side, the party has given the negotiation team a mandate to go and listen to what's being presented to them. And I think until such a time that the African National Congress has reverted to us and made a detailed proposal in terms of the different scenarios, we do not at this stage have any indication of what type of deal it is and whether it is a deal that can gain favor or not.
So that's the ANC, and what you're waiting for to hear from them, you are waiting to hear whether they have a proposal for you. The
yes.
Negotiation team, or your federal council, did they
federal executive,
did they leave with a proposal?
Look, I think the mandate that they were provided was broad in the sense that they needed to initiate the conversation, and one of the two key things that they were empowered to go into the conversation with was, one, that whatever conversations that are going to take place, they are going to have to be limited to the national situation, and also the developments in Gauteng, Northern Cape, and KwaZulu-Natal, given the fact that those are the three provinces wherein no party has won it with a majority. Therefore, if there's any conversation, it has to be restricted to those, and that conversation cannot then spill over into provinces, for instance, where either the DA or the ANC has won a majority, such as the Western Cape and Limpopo or Northwest. Secondly, that, again, in addition to that, that the conversations should not then trickle into the arrangements that are currently in existence at local government levels. and that we would find we would find a lot of discomfort in being part of any governance arrangement that includes the EFF and the MK. I think this is a point that we had made even in the lead up to the formation of the multi-party charter, that we do not believe that there is any policy alignment between ourselves and the EFF, and also given the anti-constitutional sentiment that the MK has been expressing, we would struggle to associate ourselves with an arrangement that involves those.
So we now know that the multi-party charter has been dissolved. In fact, you and I were speaking about this before the results came through, but we now know that the multi-party charter has been dissolved. John Steenhuisen told us that. You've just also told me that when the negotiation team was given a mandate, they were also given a mandate to look at these provinces, Gauteng, KZN and the Western Cape. Does it mean the arrangement and agreement that you formally had, for instance, with the IFP in KZN, remains?
Well, that is why we're saying that the scenarios that are in place at local government level remain intact, because this election wasn't about those arrangements. It was about the national and provincial government.
So I understand that. And I'm specifically asking about KZN, because now the scenario includes other. I mean, if you had to form a government in KZN, you would probably have to look at other people too, not just the IFP. That's the reason I'm asking. And so how will that affect your arrangement with the IFP?
Well, I mean, I think, you know, our arrangement with the IFP in KwaZulu-Natal is in relation to specific municipalities, not with within the provincial government per se. So we are saying that any negotiations about the future of governance at national level and provincial level should not extend into the currently
local
in
government.
Place arrangements at local government level.
Okay. Are you nervous about the so-called doomsday coalition that John Steenhuisen has been warning about?
Well, we are concerned, and that is why, you know, we brought it to the attention of the country, even in the lead up to this election, that that is a potential risk and that it could happen. And we have committed ourselves, and this was evident in John Steenhuisen's address on Sunday, that we want to be part of the solution that can help bring about governance stability in our country, because we know the risks that come with the prospect of a doomsday coalition. So we are committed to negotiating in good faith, and we are committed to playing our part in at least playing a contributory role to finding a solution to this uncharted territory that we find our country in.
So with the numbers that we all know that we are looking at right now, number two being yourselves, number three being MK Party, number four being EFF, obviously the majority, not outright majority, but majority nonetheless, ANC, and you still want to have that scenario where you are telling whoever that you are not going to go into a formation without the number three and number four?
I mean, that is our principal stance. And when you look at the numbers, you can also get to a point where you can establish, you know, a government without the inclusion of number three and number four, mm-hmm. or get to some sort of arrangement without that. But I think what we are saying here, mm-hmm. Pamela, is that we have made our principal stance. Other organizations may very well also have their principal stance. That those principal stance then inform the spirit of the negotiations, because it is given that in any negotiations there are red lines and there are very strong viewpoints that each of the respective parties may share. It is also given that in any negotiation there is an element of potential compromise or non-compromise, and that all those considerations take place in a space where there are multiple options that are still available to all of us to choose to be either part of or not.
So, which is what confuses me. One of the reasons John Steenhuisen spoke about the multi-party charter and the reason it needed to exist, there were two reasons, I think. One of the reasons was that you were hoping as a collective to make sure that you make, number one, you wanted to yourselves as a collective get 50 plus one. That wasn't achievable, that's fine. But you wanted to make sure that the ANC falls below the 50%. It has been achieved. He also spoke about the fact that he is worried about the doomsday coalition, and there was a need to prevent that from happening. So what confuses me about all of this is that if that still remains the objective and you still have the hard line, as you've said, you do have the prerogative to have a line, a principled line about who you want to relate to, then why dissolve the multi-party charter? Isn't that the most obvious formation that will make sense to what it is that you want to achieve?
Well, I think in recognition of the fact that the multi-party charter was a pre-agreement pact, and that pre-election pact was always going to be dependent on its success during the election in order to be implementable beyond the election. And I think in recognition of the fact that it then did not get the 50% plus that was required, it therefore meant that its very fundamental objective then became a stillborn because of the reality of the election results.
Do you really see it as a stillborn? I mean, the one part you didn't achieve, but the second part is still in the making. It's still in the cooking. So the fact that you, as the leading party of the multi-party charter, wanted to make sure that there is no doomsday coalition, isn't it something that you can still walk towards?
Well, numerically, that is not possible because collectively, the multi-party, party charter partners did not secure 50% plus. And without that, there is no realistic path to that forming a government. And that is in recognition of that fact.
So then are you saying the only possible coalition partner right now then is the ANC?
No. That's not what we are saying. We are saying that it is amongst the realistic scenarios that are in place. And depending on the negotiations, we will get to a place whether we can get to that or not. That can only be determined by the negotiations based on what the discussion between the two or the multiple negotiation teams can get to agree or not.
Yes. The partners that share the same values with you, that have a pre-election arrangement with you, couldn't get the numbers. The partners that do not share values with you are number three and number four. You're left with one partner that you could actually settle all of your scores with, and that's the ANC.
Well, I mean, that imagination is a reality, but for that to happen, there is the negotiation. So while it might seem like, you know, based on the numbers only, that is the logical step, in politics, negotiations are not only guided or concluded by, you know, numerical advantage. There are key issues of, you know, policy stances. There are key issues of coming to an understanding on how in actual fact such an arrangement of working together will be executed. And I think that is where the detail lie. And we will get a clearer sense towards the end of this week or even over the weekend if there is any movement on that part, because there is a major development on the other side, which is that the ANC needs to conclude its own internal consultations with its structures to then present the various options, which are mostly common knowledge by now in terms of what is already out there or what can actually be practical. So at this stage, the ANC is not a partner because there hasn't been any partnerships per se. It is that because there is a recognition that any solution to this situation we find ourselves in requires that, you know, possibly the two largest parties have a conversation to explore whether they can find a way to work together or not.
And that means then the other possibility is that you totally walk away from all of this.
I think that is also an obvious option that is in there.
and remain just.
I think from our side, Pumelo, is that it is important to have the negotiations because there is an expression of negotiating in good faith from us, and that the options that are there are very obvious to everyone that, you know, it could include agreeing, it could include not agreeing, or it could be the situation wherein the status quo remains, which means that we can remain as the official opposition.
Is that viable for you?
I think every option is viable. It's a matter of what the negotiations come to. And I don't want to preempt the nature of the negotiations, but I think as an organization that is committed to helping find a solution to this situation that our country finds ourselves in, we are going to the negotiations with an open mind. We are going with the, we are going to the negotiations in good faith, and we are going to be negotiating in good faith with a commitment to try and find a solution that is, one, practical for the country, but also practical for us as an organization.
I mean, I hear you say that part of the negotiation is also iron out policy positions and the details thereof. I wonder about that. I mean, are you going to be doing that right now, or are you going to have principled conversation and then when issues arise, you will deal with those issues further down? Is it not sort of the way you're going to go? Because you're then going to find yourself in many difficult conversations if you want to go into the kind of details that you are alluding to, when you know very well that these are obviously two different parties with two different policy positions. You may compromise, but are you going to be that strict as a DA with your very fine comb in terms of looking at policy by policy, or it's a general kind of conversation where you agree to marry and then you'll work things out in the marriage?
Look, I think any marriage, once it happens, is that it has to be grounded on very key principles and agreements. And those would happen in the event that there is a mutual agreement to first have a marriage. And then you can then work out, you know, the other issues that would require, for instance, consideration once you move into a program of action for governance. But because we are not there yet, at this stage, it's about, one, let's get to a position where we can negotiate and have a discussion over the different scenarios that are available on the table. Let's then see if there is agreement on any of the scenarios that could be compatible for both parties. And once you have then jumped that hurdle, that's when you can then say, okay, now let's go through the policies that we know we stand on different sides with. I think it is quite knowledgeable to anyone where the DA, for instance, stands on the NHI, on the Bella Bill, on the protection of private property rights. And then you can have a conversation on that. And the outcome of that conversation will then guide whether there is sufficient scope to continue and work together or not.
So how worried are you about your own constituency? So even as you have this negotiation team and you may, in the end, have a negotiation team that comes to the federal executive and, you know, there's some consensus. There's a consensus, and of course it's a scenario. It doesn't mean that this is what's going to happen. But let's just say the scenario is that you do find a nice marriage between yourselves and the ANC. How worried are you about relating this to your own constituency, which you have made very clear, number one, that you had formed the multi-party charter based on unseating them in the first place?
Yeah, so one of the very immediate steps that we took in terms of broader consultation with our structures as the DA was to then have the federal executive meeting, which the federal executive is one of the highest decision-making structures of the organization, so that we move towards having a team and giving them a mandate to go into negotiations, because we are also working against the clock here. We've got a limitation of 14 days. But subsequent to that is that today, for instance, we had an engagement with the party's federal with the party structures, which was also to just give them an update in terms of where we are with regards to this issue, so that our own structures and elected structures are kept abreast of developments at all times. And also the party's highest decision-making body, which is the Federal Council, will be convening on the 10th of June. So from our side, we're making sure that throughout this journey, one, we take along all our structures, which are representative of our broader constituency, so that there is a common understanding in terms of, one, the mandate that we have, and also ultimately that whatever decision we take has the support of the elected structures of the body of the party, which are by extension a broader representation of our constituencies.
But you do know the trouble you're going to be facing, because as I'm speaking to you right now, that's not saying anything to people who are not in your structures, who are just members of the public who decided to put their trust in you based on what it is that you were selling them, like every other party. So it's not unique to you, right? So what do you say to those people who are saying, now you're talking to the ANC and very willing to discuss things with the ANC, here you are. You had based your entire campaign, and again, I'm saying this to reiterate, I'm not speaking to you alone as the DA. Everybody did it. You now are having discussions that may compromise the very values that we voted the DA for. The things that we were really, really voting for the DA for, now out the window, here you are having very cozy relationships with the ANC. I'm not saying that's not realistic. I'm saying, what's your message to those people?
Well, I think there is a recognition that we find ourselves as a country in a territory that we have never been before. And equally that we find ourselves in a territory that requires us to be part of the solution and find a solution to this political deadlock that we find ourselves in. And I think there is a recognition that it is important to, at the very least, try to be part of the solution, and that wouldn't be a betrayal of any constituency whatsoever, because whether you voted for one party or the other, at the end of the day, we are all South Africans, and we are South Africans that want to see our country functioning. We are South Africans that want to see our country work. And this is just an attempt on trying to be part of the solution to that. Whether that that attempt works or not is something that we will have a much more clearer sense in a few days' time at the conclusion of the negotiations.
I'm just going to, if you don't mind, Mr. Malatsi, I'm going to take a call. I think it's for you, but maybe it's just a comment, not a question. Sunny Boy is calling from Benoni. Good evening and welcome, Sunny Boy.
Brother and your guest, good evening.
Evening, Sunny Boy.
Mr. Malatsi or Malatsi?
Malatsi.
Mr. Malatsi. Mm-hmm. Soli Malatsi.
Yes, Soli Malatsi.
Right. You see, we went and voted. I didn't vote A. I voted NK. The reason is I am fed up. So the way things now are going on, when we go and vote, because we were no longer interested in what the ANC promised us as South Africans. So now, the way I see DA is only interested, solely you are only interested in the whites trying to protect their capital, other than saying, you know what, I think this is the time. South Africans, let us sit down. When we say South Africans, you guys and the other political parties that we send you to represent us, you come back and say, you know what, I think now it's time for us as South Africans to sit down. Let us make a way forward. Because can I tell you something, Sonny? We are wiser now. We were dumb. We were stupid. But now we are awake. Because now we are safeguarding our country now. As the coalition that you want to do it, that Moonpack of yours. I mean, the DA, you guys, you want to be in power at all costs. But I am saying to you, watch this thing, because somehow it is going to turn badly. Because the way I see it, and the other South Africans, the way they are seeing it, because they are talking about, they say, the business. Meaning, DA is only concerned about the white business people. You are not concerned about us as South Africans. Remember what happened to us, Soli. Although you took another path and then you went and be with TA. I'm not going to pay me for that. But I'm just saying, look where we come from. You were there. Look where we come from. As the black majority of South Africans. I think now it's the time. You guys, when you talk, you said, you know what? Let us do this. Let us not make this mistake. Let us include the voters that they send us. Do we agree? You don't have to go there and talk alone as if, as South Africans, you guys, although we voted whatever party, we've given you the mandate. The mandate now is us, because if I can say tomorrow, let us go and vote. Do you know that, yes, or you won't get the vote that you've got? I think now you have to play very, very, very careful when you try to do this collision of views, guys, so that now you must think of us as South Africans. Mm. We've been suffering enough, Soli.
Mr. Malatsi?
I think that was more of a broader comment than a question.
Yes.
But I think in recognition of his sentiment,
yes,
the best piece of advice could also be extended to his own party, the NK, to be part of, you know, the conversation. If you read reports, there was one party which has been trying to get hold of them, to engage with them, and they haven't been responsive. So if he's talking about, you know, all South Africans coming together to sit down, that would have been an expression of that. But anyway, I don't speak on behalf of both parties.
Mm.
But I think what he's saying is exactly what we are trying to do. We recognize that at this stage where we are, based on the outcome of the results, in order to shape the future of governance in the country, the parties that were part of the election, at the very least, need to talk to each other to find ways of working together. And we have said we are committed to that process. And I just want to assure him, we are not seeking for power at all costs here. We want to be part of the solution. If the solution we are proposing is not compatible with the other partners on the table, we are more than happy to take our place as the official opposition, because that's what the voters also voted for.
Mm. Appreciate your time, Soli Malatsi. Thank you very, very much for making time for us. He is the DA spokesperson. And as you know, lots can change in the next 12 hours. Maybe we'll be speaking to you soon. Thanks very much for your time.
Absolutely. Thank you. And it's always a pleasure to be on your show.
Thank you. Soli Malatsi is the DA spokesperson. Yes, there you have it. Everybody's still in talks. Nobody's going to give us an outright answer, but we try anyway. Let's take a quick break. When I come back, I have a veteran of the ANC, Matthew Posa.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.